Hey, this is Danny G, and I'm here in the Rose Garden this afternoon with my friend Kelly, my sorority sister Kelly, and we're doing an episode today on Black Girl Magic and talking about protection and understanding that we, as Black women, we are we get, and so we have to protect each other. This is a really interesting conversation because it's going to be super intimate for me because I've never talked about this publicly. But Kelly is the woman who protected me and actually showed me what protection looks like. So, Kelly, hey.
That was so sweet.
It's because I love you. Aww. It's true and it's all true and it's all real. And the connections and the way that things happen and God's timing and how things come to be is always just perfect. And I don't have words to explain how we cross paths. But so long story short, in my work, because I'm a hashtag HR pro, I was doing some work on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I remembered I had seen Kelly at work and she had on this pink and green shirt and this AKA ring.
It wasn't a pink and green shirt. It was probably a black shirt with pink on it or with green on it. Nah, I'm not the biggest pink fan.
So you see how we remember different things, because I knew when I saw Kelly in the office, I knew that she was a woman of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. I knew that. And so she will say now, all these months later, that she doesn't even wear pink.
Ask anyone that knows me like that.
Somehow, I saw her in pink and green. I reached out to her because she said that she was interested in doing the work. So I knew that we could connect over this DEI work. I approached her and said, can you talk to me about like diversity, equity, and inclusion? Give me a one-on-one on like some of the terms. And Kelly just took it and was like, here's my binder.
That's my thing. That is my thing. That is what I am passionate about. I felt like you do not know how excited I was to even engage in that type of conversation at work about something that I am so passionate about. Yes. So I was like, yes, this is happening now. This is the move. We out here. We about to do some dope stuff.
Yes, and I was thinking the same. And so Kelly was thinking this about this DEI work. I was thinking this about this freeing of myself and stepping into the light and becoming the woman that God created me to be. So you see how we both in the same moment and we were having different experiences. Kelly was talking to me about oppression.
Yes. So I worked with an organization a couple years ago and we kind of talked about like different types of oppression, and Chicago Roar, which is an amazing organization, they came in and they kind of gave us these two definitions. One is IRO, which is internalized racial oppression, and then IRS, which is internalized racial superiority. And like the IRO is for people of color. I really don't like that term, but like black and brown people who are pretty much, we're going through the motions of what it means to be oppressed. And it's not what white people have done to us, it's how we've responded to it. So like that's the work that we have to do. So while I was talking about like the different ways that we respond to oppressive behavior, it's not just white people that oppress us. We oppress each other, whether it's teachers oppressing students in the classroom or whether it's us oppressing each other as colleagues and friends and family. Like oppression and trauma is something that we perpetuate and we just continue to let live on generation after generation after generation. And it's systemic. Like it's something that we were taught to do. So we kind of got into that conversation. I saw Danny get like real emotional.
Triggered. Let's talk triggers.
And like, that was when you asked me to take a walk outside. She had on these high heels too, so I was concerned for
say
her
it,
feet
for
safety.
The again. I had on the heels and was walking, telling the story.
I had on flats, so I was good. But it was like one lap around the block turned into two, then turned into three, then turned into four, and I was like, are your feet okay though? Because like the conversation is good, but you might be limping in a minute.
No, it was worth the pain. My feet, I could not feel my feet because Kelly was a woman that I was talking to about the pain and oppression I felt as an undergraduate student. So now, as a 32-year-old, I realized that I was on a split line in undergrad. At 19, I don't know what I was. I was erased.
Yeah.
I was like, erased. As a human.
Yeah.
So it was super interesting to me. In real life, I'm very soft. I just play a thug on TV. In real life, I am
a thug for real. Real thugs shed tears occasionally.
They do.
I think what was interesting about me and your conversation, was that in that moment, a lot of things came out that wasn't unique to just like split lines or just sororities or organizations in general. It was something that happens a lot. Like, as Black women, when we talk about Black girl magic, it's not just a hashtag, it's not just a phrase. And if you really about that life and you really about that work, like, that particular conversation brought all of that stuff to the surface as to how we do not protect each other and how we do not like provide that life raft to each other regardless of what the situation is. You know what I'm saying? So I think that conversation, while at the time felt very, you know, surface and straight to the point, like, it brought up an even bigger issue of we do not hold each other down. Like, we do not protect each other. We do not respect each other. And we all know that famous Malcolm X quote of, like, the most disrespected person on the face of the earth is the Black woman. Like, we say it, but we also perpetuate it, and we also breathe life to it, and we also, like, condone it in certain ways. So it was more than that.
It was so much more than that. And so, again, at 33, I don't know if I said I was 32 or 33, but at 33, in my conversation with Kelly, I was able to look back and realize that, one, that was a moment in life and that wasn't my full identity. But two, even in spite of that, as I look at how I've approached relationships with Black women since then, in spite of how I was treated by a group of Black women that I really, really, really was excited about, the reason that I joined the sorority was to protect Black girls and Black women. That's what took me there at 19 years old with no friends that were on the line or in part of that process. Like, I was by myself because I believed in that mission, and I still do. And so even in spite of how I was treated, I still realize that I've really developed really, really strong relationships and really, really strong networks with Black women, even in the workplace. Like, so after undergrad, as I think about the different friendships that I have, so I have my friends from high school, I have my friends from college, and then I think about these different women that along my career path, we've just supported each other. Mm-hmm. Like, we've protected each other. I've never viewed another Black woman in the workplace as competition, ever.
But that's unique to you.
It and is I unique
think,
to
I
me.
I think that even in the conversation that we had that day, we talked about the amount of power that you gave to these other women for whatever reason. Like, we have so much power that we either don't realize or we don't acknowledge. And that's dangerous. Like, it is completely dangerous. Because the fact that these women had the power and the authority and the know-it-all to make you feel the way that you feel as if you weren't worthy of it. Like, how many times have we done that?
Yeah.
How many times have we talked about that?
Yeah.
Like, when we on bullshit, we can for real be about that life.
We can.
When we're on positive stuff, like this election,
yes,
we can be about that life.
Yes.
So it's one of those things, like, if we don't acknowledge and first understand, like, we have that type of power and authority, and with the snap of a finger, we can make things happen, things move, because we say it moves, like, we're using that power. For evil.
We are. And we, as superheroes, because we are Black girl magic, like, we are magic and we are real. It's our responsibility to use that power for good. And what I've also learned is that you don't have to give out what you were given.
But that shit is hard.
That's very hard.
How do you look somebody in the eye that has wronged you, like another woman that has blatantly wronged you, blatantly wronged you, and be like, you know what, girl?
You good?
It's okay. It's all right.
Anybody
let me,
who
let
knows.
Let me hug you out. Let's hug it out. Or at least let me not criminalize you. Let me not put you on blast. Yep. Let me not defile you. Like,
yeah,
I could tell you now, there are a bunch of examples that I have of women that have done some very foul, messed up things, like, to me. And it took me a while, because I'm petty. Like, I'm petty.
That's why I said I'm petty adjacent.
I have had to move away
from my pettiness, because I see what real life petty looks like. I'm not that.
I'm being delivered. Yes. I'm being delivered.
Yes.
It's still there.
Yes.
It is still there. Yes. But I'm working daily to make sure that I don't go back to that way, because I know it's unhealthy. And
yes.
I know it's not okay.
And it's toxic.
And I know better, so I need to do better.
Yes.
But in that same regard, there are some women that have done some things to me that have affected me. I won't even say that they've done some things to me. They have done things that affected me and have affected my world.
Yep.
In a way that I can be justified if I did whatever I wanted to do.
Yes.
Like, if I wanted to go to your house and bang on your door and cuss you out and possibly put my hands on you, people will understand why I did it.
Yes.
That doesn't make it okay.
Nope.
That I am only responsible for my actions. You made your choice. I get to make a choice. I made my choice. But I am saying it takes a different type of strength to know that somebody did something to you that was not okay or that affected you, and still not demoralize them, and still not treat them like trash.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that is, like, the essence of protecting each other.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't even like you. But that doesn't mean that you don't deserve the same type of protection that everybody else deserves.
Because, like you said, if you are really about that life, and you are really called to do this work, then we have to be the model.
And we unfortunately.
Said that. Unfortunately, it's not fun. Like, I have wanted to and could, as you just said, justifiably put lots of people on women on blast for lots of reasons. Mm-hmm. Justifiably. Mm-hmm. I can talk about ways that people have affected my world or people that I care about. I've been called lots of bitches. It don't hurt my feelings no more. I don't care about being called a bitch no more. But you hurt somebody that I care about. You act ugly to somebody that I care about, then I have a problem.
But see, that's the problem. We get protective over people that we care about.
Exactly.
We don't protect the people that we don't give a shit about.
And that's that higher power, which is everybody deserves that same protection and that same grace.
Yep.
And that's my approach even in the workplace. Did you extend this same grace to all of these people or just the people that you care about?
Yep.
And that is the higher power. But again, it gets back to if you are serious about this work, because we have work to do. Black women have to be the models.
We have to for everything,
for everybody, all the time, have to be the best.
It's exhausting.
It is exhausting. And then in a perfect world, you will be able to turn to your partner to charge you back up. In a perfect world, you will be able to depend on your partner to protect you. But in some cases, the men in our lives, the family members in our lives, the friends in our lives are also perpetuating that same oppression and that same pain.
Sometimes. I would say the group of friends that I have, we have a pact. And from the moment that I met one of my best friends, she has always said, okay, so do you want me to just listen and you want to vent right now, or you want me to be your friend? There's never been a time where she has not told me exactly what it is that I need to hear and not what it is that I want to hear.
Yes.
And I think all of the people that I surround myself with, this is an ongoing thing. If we are friends, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yep.
It's not malicious. It's always out of love. But I'm going to protect you by telling you the truth. And they do the same thing to me.
Yep.
In public and in private.
Yep.
They really going to get in my ass in private.
Yep.
But in public, if somebody be like, hey, Kelly, Danny, you know what Kelly did was foul, right? Like, she did blah, 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 blah. You know, my friends are going to say, you right. That was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
She was bogus for it, and we talked about it.
Yeah.
But we're not finna let this go on. I'm not finna sit up here and let you bash me. Like, that is how they protect me. And that is how they let everybody else know. Like, no, that's my person. I got her. But wrong is wrong.
Wrong is wrong. My friends hold me accountable. My friend, we are off work today. I got an 8 a.m. phone call because my friend was not happy with the strategic direction of my podcast. And she called me and she was like, yep, nope. And let me tell you, you know that you are supposed to be doing X, Y, Z. And I'm like, but she's like, I'm not trying to hear no buts. You know that we got work to do. And I'm like, iron legit sharpens iron. My friends won't let me not be great.
No, it's not an option.
Like, examine your circle. You know what I'm saying? But it's because they know we charge each other up, which is why I said, even if you don't have your partner, or if you don't have a partner, for everybody who is out here single, like, if you have the right circle, you can still feel that support and that protection. You just got to make sure you are examining who is in your circle. And for me, my circle, primarily Black women.
Yeah.
And women, period. But Black women for sure.
But like that's you said, who's in my circle. Like you said, Black women are the models for everything.
Everything.
Like, we have been the models for everything. There's not a thing that has happened in society, in history, period, that Black women haven't been at the forefront, whether we give them the recognition of it or not.
Agreed.
Period.
Nameless. So many Black women.
Yeah.
We don't even know their names or their stories.
But, like, that's what we do.
That is what we do.
So, like, Teresa Coma that climbed up the Statue of Liberty, or Bree Newsom that took down a Confederate flag. Both Black women, both started leading that charge of those conversations. Like, we're not finna sit up here and let you have these things up that represent something, whether it's the Statue of Liberty that represents freedom and represents immigrants coming from one place to another, and sit here and do fuck shit because you feel like it, or I'm not finna sit up here and let you put up these disrespectful ass statues and flags.
And keep them
and
up.
And keep them up.
In spite of the fact that we all know better.
But then what happened as soon as both of these Black women did these things? The conversation starts. All of a sudden people start thinking a little bit more, quote unquote, logically about these acts. Like, but why wasn't this happening before?
Was Black Lives Matter started by women?
It was.
Was the Me Too movement started by a Black woman?
Yeah, and I'm not even gonna go on that tangent.
But yeah,
but like at the end of the day, it's like, yo, when we show up and we show out, we make stuff happen.
When we show up and we show out and we connect and we use our power to protect each other and our, because in protecting each other, we're protecting ourselves.
Right. Which that argument is always gonna come up, like, how y'all expect somebody else to protect y'all and y'all don't protect each other? Cool. Let's be the models and what that looks like, but that does not give you the option to say, like, somebody else could do it too. Like, no, fuck you. You can't do it and I can't do it.
Yep.
It's not an or.
Yep.
It is not an or.
Yep.
You can't disrespect me and you can't disrespect somebody else. And I can't do it either.
Nope.
So now that's settled.
Right. Now that we know the rules, that it is not appropriate to disrespect each other, period, even if you are justified and people give you reasons every day. That's the beauty of dealing with humans.
Yep.
People gonna piss you off daily.
But take that feedback.
Or on that. Right, but take that feedback. And also, if we're talking about how we can start protecting each other, because it does just take one drop of water to start a waterfall. What can we individually do?
Yep.
It's like, start to acknowledge, like, what toxicities, what oppressions, what whatevers have we put on people?
Yep.
What damage have we done?
Yep. Yep. We got to acknowledge it. Like, you got to look yourself in the mirror and be able to pull out all of the things that you don't like. Because it's easy to point a finger at somebody else. But once you start pulling out those things in yourself, like, that's how you start to get the momentum going.
Yes.
I could say all day, like, you're selfish or you're this or you always do that. But when I look at me, like, I'm petty. I could be disrespectful.
Yep.
I could be angry. I can be unforgiving. Like, until I acknowledge those things about me, it don't matter what I say about nobody else.
Yep. And I know, again, I know I can be super petty, super sarcastic. I can be, and with, I think I'm being, because I've always been misunderstood, my mama. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Mm-hmm. So then I deliver everything real straight. There's no emotion. It's just straight factual. This is now I got an attitude. So it's always me trying to monitor how my message, and I've said this before, I have been praying for years that I would work on my content in my delivery so that my content would not get lost in my delivery.
Yeah.
Because I've always tried to present feedback, but even in holding myself
accountable.
That, yeah, I've always tried to and always tried to be reflective to make sure I care about this relationship and I care about this person receiving this feedback. So how can I protect our relationship by giving them what they need, mm-hmm. even if it's not what I want to give them? Even if it's not. And then apologizing. Like for any black woman. And yeah, I mean, yeah. Like,
it's hard sometimes. This is on a whole nother note. But like even with the apologizing, the forgiveness part comes in there too. And like that taking forgiveness. But I am working on forgiving people who aren't even sorry.
Yeah, I have been forced to. In my own, like, reflections. So, Kelly and I wake up and send each other the daily devotionals. And we've been doing this for I don't even know how long. Like, it's my practice. I have become one of those women who gets up at 5:30 every morning and goes to pray in real life. And Kelly sends me her devotional every morning. And I send her my devotional every morning. So, like, I start my day centered and putting on the full armor of God because I know these things aren't easy to do. I know it's not easy to walk out and if somebody has offended me to still grant them that protection yeah. and grant them that grace and me be accountable and me receive whatever they're giving without giving it to them back. We call this shock absorption. I mean, you know, like black women have to, we receive everything. People yeah. throw insult, they hurl whatever at us. And if we were to give a piece of that back, we angry.
Yep.
So we can't.
So unfairly.
Unfairly. So I've had to learn how to channel that.
My mother-in-law has told me over and over again, life is not fair. She don't even like to use the word fair because there's nothing that's fair.
Nothing. Nothing.
But I think you hit it on it. Like, we have to acknowledge like who we are, what we are, the good and bad parts of it. We got to be accountable for it. Like, this is our mess, which means the only people that can fix it is us. Stop waiting for somebody else to do it. Stop holding off respecting and protecting each other until black men respect us, until white people respect us, until my job respects. Like, nah, fam, just start respecting yourself and respecting each other. They choice is they choice. Make yours.
Yep.
And then just, like, apologize. Like, you gonna fuck up. Like, you're going to make mistakes. You gonna disrespect somebody. You gonna fall short. Like, apologize. Yeah, like, just say sorry. It's not that difficult. But in saying sorry, that means like, yo, I know I did something that affected you. I apologize. That wasn't my intention. And I'm going to try not to do it again. Like, period. And like, we just move on.
And don't do it again.
Like, for real, don't do it again. Like, just don't.
And I'm learning to apologize and leave the apology on the table without me trying to provide an explanation. That's something that I'm personally working on because I'm always trying to make sure the person knows, like, I'm really not a bad guy, but in real life, again, people mess up. Danielle, you messed up. Call it a day and move on.
Yep, that is what it is.
And it also doesn't mean that every black woman is going to be besties. No. It does not
that mean... That don't mean we got to be friends. That just means we ain't got to tear each other down.
Exactly. We do not have to be... Don't have to be no kumbaya up in this. Like, nope. It doesn't mean that. It just means I don't have to put forth energy to destroy you.
Exactly.
And you don't have to put forth energy to destroy me. Yep. We can both exist in this world. We can both be out here... Black girl magic, you live your best life. I'm living my best life. And we don't have to do anything to destroy that.
Now, I don't mean I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader exactly. either. That just means I'm going to fall to the wayside.
All the way. You don't even exist in my world. Like, you don't even necessarily have to exist. I'm not saying, like, people have to, if you had enemies, like, okay, we're all friends, and now we're going to like each other's stuff on Facebook. No, you can still live your entire life.
But that, just like you said, I'm not going to put forth energy to destroy you.
Yeah.
And you're not going to put forth energy to destroy me. But that all that extra layer of it, if we really bout that life, like, for real, that means I'm not going to let nobody else destroy you either.
That too.
Even when I don't like you.
That too.
And that's hard. Like, that to come too. To the defense and protect somebody that you don't like, that's that extra layer.
Yeah, that's that next level.
Like, I'm not going to do it, but I'm also not going to let nobody else do it.
Yes. Yep. And that's it. Black girl magic. That's all we got. Kelly, I love you.
Aw, love you back.
You have made my life so much better. You have demonstrated sisterhood and friendship.
I be trying, man. I be trying.
Plus, you got locks.
I mean, that too.
You know, too. We magic. That's magic, too.
A little little bit. A little sprinkle dust.
All right, y'all. Thank you for tuning in to our Black Girl Magic episode. Danny and Kelly over here talking about oppression, the responsibilities that we have as Black women, how what we can do to start to change the game, to use our powers for good, and how ultimately we have the power. It's just one. Each woman has the power to start to change the way that we engage with the world and our experiences. Yeah. All right. I'm Danny G. And the G is for gone.